You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am answering a question from Michelle in Texas. And her question is about CCPT and autism and what that intersection looks like and if there's considerations when we are CCPT and we're working with kids on the spectrum. So I'm really excited about this. We talk about this a lot in the coaching programs and we've talked about it in the collective a little bit, but I don't think it's ever been explicitly discussed on the podcast. So Michelle in Texas, thank you so much for the question. So she says, I'm wondering if you could share your thoughts on the intersection of autism and CCPT, such as if and how themes and stages present differently, or anything clinicians should consider as they are CCPT with autistic children. I recognize that autism is a truly diverse spectrum, so answering this may be tricky, but I'm interested in your insight. And then she says she's soon to be fully licensed LPC, and the podcasts have been one of the most beneficial sources for her indirect hours. So I'm so glad that you're almost licensed, Michelle. That's a huge accomplishment. Congratulations. And I'm glad that the podcast has been helpful to you and actually to all of you. The feedback that you give me in your emails and in our conversations about how much this has been valuable to you, that really means a lot. You all are why I do this, and I hope that you know that every moment that I spend in front of this microphone, I'm thinking and picturing you all and your work and your passion for this, and I'm just really grateful that we get to do this together. Alrighty, so Michelle, I think as a general rule, we know that children on the spectrum are going to interact differently, they're going to play differently, and therefore the process is a little bit different. Let me give a disclaimer first. I feel like I need to be really transparent here. I have some therapists at my center that are what I would consider to be very well-versed in ASD, and they have a lot of experience with children on the spectrum, and a lot of their work has been with autism. That is not my wheelhouse. So while I have worked with children on the spectrum, of course, and I've supported lots of families in a lot of capacities related to autism, I just want to be really clear. I would not consider myself an expert in this. So although I have some experience and I can share from that personal experience, there might be others who would have maybe a little bit more to add or something like that. So I guess what I'm saying is my disclaimer, I don't know that this is the most comprehensive answer or the most thorough response, but I will just share with you my experience and I hope that that suffices. And then for those of you who may have a really extensive background in autism, and ASD, please shoot me an email and fill me in on what I might have missed or what might be helpful. And I can do a follow-up episode so that I can kind of illustrate a little bit more helpfully if you feel like I didn't cover some things that should have been said. So please reach out, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com, if you want to weigh in on CCPT and ASD. But Michelle, here are my thoughts based on my experience. They tend to be slower in the process. And what I mean by that is we typically understand, you know, we have the stages and the phases, and although they do not go 1, 2, 3, 4, and although they're not necessarily linear in fashion, kids do progress at a pretty standard rate, give or take, right? We can kind of anticipate how long a child's going to be in initiation, how long a child will be in resistance, how long a child will be in work, and then termination is static. That's a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 countdown. We can anticipate where a child will naturally fall. There are always outliers. There are always kids that jump ahead or go fast or go slow or backtrack or whatever. So it's not hard and fast, but we can typically understand where a child might be. My experience is children on the spectrum, they process everything slower. So their phases and stages extend beyond what we would consider the traditional time frame. And you almost have to consider it might be about double the number of sessions. And that's just been my experience. Everyone else maybe can weigh in. I want to share from my personal work. Also, their play is very different. And I think this might actually be why everything takes longer. They tend to struggle with creative and imaginative play. Their play tends to be very prescribed and rote. And here's what I mean by that. They will reenact something from a video game. They will reenact a storyline from a movie or from a TV show, or they will play out a character that they're familiar with, the dialogue and the backstory. They tend to be very repetitive and rehearsed in their play. And because kids on the spectrum tend to gravitate toward screens and electronics more so than other children, they are very bent toward screen addiction and video game addiction and movies and TVs and all things related to screens. So that becomes their understanding of play. That becomes their understanding of the world. And they will rehearse and play out what they've seen in a screen related capacity. So they'll play out video games, they'll play out movies, TV shows, that kind of thing. And I think that that actually might slow down the process, because one of the things that we know about the child-centered model is that children eventually subconsciously start to work through the things that they need to work through. And it almost always evolves into creative and imaginative or narrative play of some sort. Not always, but usually. So with kids on the spectrum, they tend to be much more prescriptive and rote with their play. It does not mean that they're not benefiting from CCPT. It does not mean that it's not work that they need to do. It's just different. And I think the pace of it is longer for those reasons and in that capacity. So another thing that I have noticed is parents tend to have a fix-it mentality, and we have to spend a lot of time helping set realistic expectations, and we have to help them understand what this feasibly speaking looks like in the way of positive outcomes. Because if they reach out to you as a CCPT and they expect that their child is going to fill in the blank, right? They're going to stop having meltdowns. They're going to stop being aggressive. They're going to stop whatever. So yes, of course, we hope that every child becomes more regulated. We know that's a universal outcome. We hope that a child builds an emotional vocabulary and they're better able to communicate. We know that they will build self-esteem. So the universal outcomes apply even to kids on the spectrum, but it lands differently because their neurodivergence means that their brains are wired differently. They process things differently. They experience emotions differently. Their communication style is different. All of this influences their work in the playroom. So it's about kind of being very open and trusting the process and knowing that, look, we can, I actually just pulled a whole bunch of articles about this because I had a conversation with a supervisor for one of my coaching participants, and they almost exclusively work with kids on the spectrum. And the supervisor told the coaching participant that CCPT was not appropriate for kids on the spectrum. So I did a deep dive and I have a whole new arsenal of all of these articles that show that CCPT does actually prove effective with kids on the spectrum. So we know that it's effective, but we know that it's going to be slower. It's going to look different. It's going to feel different. And their play is going to be different. But we still trust the process. We still help parents understand what realistic expectations and timeframes are. And then we believe in the child's inherent need and ability to self-actualize. And if you know anything about OTT play, and it's not CCPT, but I'm only referencing that because Grant has been kind of a pioneer of the intersection of play therapy with autism. In his book, he shared that there was a child, I might have mentioned this on another podcast, but he referenced a child that came in and used the toy vacuum every week for months. And the child just play vacuumed over and over and over and over again. And he was like, what in the world is this doing? Why is this child doing this? What is the purpose of this? Is this actually meaningful? What is going on? And come to find out, it was exactly what the child needed. And he says in the book, I realized that this particular child just needed to come in and vacuum every week. So we need to be really sensitive to the fact that even if the play looks different, it is meaningful. And even if it's not exactly what the normal formulaic process is, as a general rule, we know that if we trust kids, they will do the work that they need to do. And the four universal outcomes will serve kids on the spectrum extremely well, as well as their own individualized issues that they end up processing. So, Michelle, thank you so much for the question. I hope that that is helpful for all of us, because we certainly are always going to have kids on the spectrum in our playrooms. And I think one of our goals is to understand how that looks different, but also how there's continuity and we don't need to change anything. All right. Thanks so much for the email. Reminder, please sign up for the conference in Australia, and also please sign up for the meetup if you're going to the conference. Playtherapypodcast.com/meetup, and make sure you get your tickets for the conference. If you are in Asia, if you are in New Zealand, if you are in Australia and you can't make it to the Gold Coast, you can get a virtual ticket where you are able to watch the conference virtually. That's something they're doing for the first time this year. So if you are able to do that, that's another option for you. And for all of my stateside people and my Europeans and to all of the other countries all over the world that are listening, I appreciate you. Put me in contact with the people, the powers that be in your country, and I'll figure out how I can come speak closer to you. Reach out. I'd love to hear from you. Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. Love y'all. Talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.